Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. You want to get in touch with the program, use your texting device. Time permitting, I will get to your text. But joining us now in the interim here, in the Fairhope Bureau, very pleased to have the Baldwin County Republican Party Chairman Patrick McWilliams on with us. Patrick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. It's good to be back in Fairhope Bureau after a few weeks on the road.
Is it really good to be in the Fairhope Bureau, or?
It is good to be in a Fairhope Bureau.
It's a very busy place these days. It's fall break here at the Fairhope Bureau, so that means I get the little one. We had a sitter at the Fairhope Bureau, and we got the guy coming by to cut our grass, and it's just going to be a busy morning here. The Fairhope Bureau. Anyway, enough of that rigmarole. Let's start here. You know these international affairs much better than I do. The Hamas Israel situation. Just your reaction to what's going on there.
Well, there's a couple of things here. You know, everybody is touting this massive intelligence failure that happened with the Israelis, with the Mossad, and also with us as well. Let me clear up a few things here. This isn't a asset driven failure. And what I mean by that is that it's a policy driven failure. I'll give you a case in point. Okay. If you take a look at the Iron Wall, as they call it, the pretty much the 40-mile wall that surrounds the Gaza Strip. Okay. They were at minimum manning when this all went down. And, because they had pulled a lot of the forces off of that wall, to go deal with, tensions on the West Bank right now. So that was, mistake number one. Mistake number two was on us. Okay. Our intelligence assets, whether it's an overhead satellite, whether it's a drone, whether it's, human intelligence on the ground, was a failure as well. We should have seen this coming long in the distance. I mean, you had, with that wall, the Gaza, with the breaches, you had 29 breaches. Okay. They figured it out to where Hamas was flying, gliders, over the top of it because they figured out that low technology can defeat the Iron Dome. So you start looking at everything like that. And it's not like they just, and how do you hide a bulldozer? They were bulldozing through, the Iron Wall and, then running motorcycles and vehicles and everything else through it. And, the other thing is that we can also, I don't think that some of the arms that we left in Afghanistan did not make it into the hands of, either Hamas or Hezbollah, up to the north. It did.
Well, what about, the other one, Ukraine? Is there any way there's any link to that?
I don't think there's, I don't think there's any link to it. I think this is more, I think it's a separate regional issue. They're close in proximity, but, when you start talking about, Black Sea versus like Eastern Mediterranean, I don't think there's a link there. I think a lot of it, and let's face it, the White House, and that's another policy, decision, is that, the White House and Anthony Blinken will not come out and say that Iran has backed this from the get-go. Okay, they won't say anything. They say that the $6 billion is not involved in this. Okay, but, and it's, we set up a health savings account in Qatar for the Iranians. Well, but what the elephant in the room is that freed up money that they already had so they could go over, so they could give that, basically, fund, state sponsored terrorism, whether it's Hezbollah or Hamas.
Well, let's talk about this and, what is the appropriate response here? Because you know, they're especially here domestically, they're very wide ranging, everything from bombing Iran to just not doing anything, you know, like we got the brink of World War III versus, you know, Fortress America. I don't know what the Biden administration's real stance is. I mean, they've done some good things. They sent that carrier group. Biden said right. The right thing for the most part yesterday. But what is this moment in history call for?
Okay, this is not a partisan thing right now. This needs to have bipartisan support, which it does. What needs to happen is instead of what's happening right now, they took the Gerald Ford battle group and parked it off of, you know, and basically parked it off of Lebanon, you know, and it's my understanding that the USS Eisenhower carrier strike group is en route as well, you know, so that's going to bring close to the 180 aircraft, you know, plus a minimum of 200, you know, missiles that can be used as far as, you know, whether it's land attack or whether it's, you know, to deal with, you know, a surface threat or anything like that. You know, so that's going to give Hezbollah a moment of pause. So I think that's a strategic move there. The next thing that needs to happen is that we need to basically, and Israel's got the money. This isn't like the Ukraine, you know, where we're going to, you know, where we're going to be paying for everything. They've already said, it's like, look, we've called up all our reserves. We've called up 315,000 reserves. They, right now, they don't have enough body armor and protective equipment to arm all their reserve forces. So we need to deal with that, okay, because there is going to be a ground assault. And realistically, what Prime Minister Netanyahu said was exactly what needs to happen. We need to treat this like they are a terrorist organization. We need to do the same thing that we did with ISIS. We need to go total war on them. This is not a you know, a measured approach. This is a total war. We root them out. We kill them, and we make sure that we kill their infrastructure and make sure that this never happens again.
I mean, this is going to be like a very extensive ground campaign. Does the United States need to be involved here? Can the Israelis handle it themselves?
Yeah, Israelis can handle it themselves. We just need to basically provide them with the means to do it. You know, like I said, this is, they have been a partner of ours, and they're one of our most valued allies, if not one of our closest, and as they should be. And, you know, the door swings both ways. They've sent a lot of technology over here. I've actually flown with some of it, and it's actually really good. So we just need to make sure that they have everything they need, whether it's intelligence assets, sharing, you know, equipment, anything that they need that we can help them with.
Joined by Patrick McWilliams, the chairman of the Baldwin County Republican Party. Patrick, the other thing you hear sometimes about the Israeli, the IDF, it's just not as, it's not as strong as it once was. Like, you know, it used to be, and then just, you know, the culture in general has kind of led us to this place, but is, and then the Israelis obviously are up for it right now, but are they at their peak? Are they at their best? Or have they lost a step or two?
You know, I don't want to, I'm not on the ground. I can't say that, but I will say this. They experienced a lot of, you know, a leftist type of government there for a while. All right. And, you know, this, and as far as Israeli woke policies are concerned, you know, a lot of that got implemented, and the people realized right away that that was not going in the direction that they really needed to go. So I think some of what we're seeing right now is kind of the vacuum effect of before President Not, or I keep saying President, Prime Minister Netanyahu came back to power, was elected back to power, that, you know, he's trying to right the ship, but that doesn't happen overnight. Okay. And I think this is also something that we need to think about as well. We've got an open border right now, an open southern border right now. And the amount of, you know, young men that have come in this country from nations of concern is staggering right now. Okay, and it's only getting worse. Those numbers have increased twofold since last year.
Well, and so let's move on to domestic politics. Because obviously, you can't have a flare up on the other side of the world without talking about what it means in Washington D.C. or whatever.
Right.
But I'll start here with this General Hayden's remarks about Tommy Tuberville. You have some insight into Hayden and his, you know, when he was prior to his serving as CIA director.
Yeah, I was with, stationed at the National Security Agency back during the early 2000s and when he was a director there. And there, I was there for two incidents. One was the Hainan Island incident where we had a U.S. Navy maritime reconnaissance aircraft collide with a Chinese fighter. That was the old squadron that I had just left. I knew everybody on that plane. I was part of the actual assessment team that, you know, we that dealt with how this all happened and how do we make it not happen again. The other thing is that I was there also on 9/11. So let's get back to this was probably the greatest intelligence failure of U.S. history. Okay, and he was a director of the National Security Agency. So I think what we need to look at here is let's take a look at, and I will say this, when he walked in the door, he cleaned house. If you weren't on board with what he was trying to do, you were gone. Especially on the civilian GS level side of it. And he ended a lot of careers when I was there. And there was a lot of people that he ruffled a lot of feathers. So, and then, it's no secret. It was no secret in Washington that, he was left leaning at the time, you know, and I think we're seeing all of that come out now in his retirement.
I mean, he's like one of the favorite TV generals, right? Right now it tells you what you need to know, but like that's just it. Was he that much of a left wing ideologue? Well, cause what's scary to me, Patrick, is listen to what he says about Tommy Tuberville. In knowing, I assume he might know how those comments could be interpreted, but he went double down on them. This guy used to run the CIA, one of the most powerful intelligence agencies, you know, in the world, if not ever. And this is his, like, view on politics and view on duly elected officials. It's like a teachable moment that a lot of these guys in government are not your friend.
No, they're not. Okay. And, I've known several directors of the NSA. A couple of them I've known personally and I've served with well before they were ever directors of the NSA. And, I think one, there's always going to be a human aspect of whether you are a U.S. senator, whether you're a flag officer or whatever else. Because they are human beings, but at the same time, you have to remember who you are. Okay, it doesn't matter whether you're a retired four-star general or even a former U.S. senator, okay, or a standing U.S. senator. You have to remember that the microphone is going to be on you at all times, and you have to think about what you were putting out there on social media. Okay, maybe and I'm not going to defend General Hayden whatsoever, not in this lifetime, but I will say this. If you are having a bad day, okay, or something is going on in your life, or if you're at a party or something like that, then maybe social media is not what you should be picking up.
Well, yeah, I don't think that's going to stop him. Let me ask you this. Speaking of Tuberville, these holds, like, they're wholly irrelevant. I think they're wholly irrelevant to what's going on, but I'm told otherwise.
They are irrelevant. Okay, this goes back to the Democrat playbook, which is never let a crisis go you got to capitalize on it.
And never let it go to waste.
Yeah, never let it go to waste. Okay. Yeah. And this is a perfect example of it. It's like, we finally got Coach Tuberville to rights here, because we can't, move assets and do whatever else, which is a complete lie. They're thinking there are people in place. There are decisions being made with our Department of Defense right now, whether these, whether these flag level officers are confirmed or not.
Well, it's like the dumbest thing. It's like if you'd watch the media, now Saturday, they're like, oh my gosh, you believe this happened. But by Sunday, it was as if Hamas was waiting for domestic politics in the United States to play out before it made its move.
This is something. Let's get back to the Speaker of the House race. I said this back in January, okay, and I actually, talking about social media, I put this out there, and I said, look, I said, our adversaries are watching what the political theater is on the House floor right now, and they are taking note of it, all right? So now we have a vacated seat for the Speaker of the House.
So you really think it had an impact?
I think some of it does. I think our adversaries know exactly when they look for opportunities. Okay, well, I think this was going to happen no matter what.
That's what I think, because the motion to vacate by Matt Gaetz, that had happened, we would still be having the same discussion about what's going on here, regardless, right?
Yes, that is true. But my God, the timing of this couldn't be any worse.
It does show weakness, and then you want a strong U.S., but I think it was a direct thing. I don't know. Let's get a break in here real quick. We got Patrick McWilliams here in the Federal Bureau studio. Makeshift studio, I'd call it. But anyway, we got him here, and we'll talk to him. We'll close out the program on the other side. This is the Jeff Ford Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Ford Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us. What's left of this program? Coming up tomorrow, real quick, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, April Marie Fogle from I Don't Know Where, and State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. So please tune in tomorrow. Still for a couple of minutes here, Patrick McWilliams of the Baldwin County Republican Party. Patrick, real quick, redistricting. We talked a little bit about it last week, that decision. Man, they gutted Mobile. It really is going to be a very dominant congressional district for Baldwin County. I mean, they really, that second is going to be a whole different world down there now.
You know, as wild is that they took Austell Shipyard and it's now in two congressional districts.
Well, does that matter? I mean,
no, it really doesn't, but it just goes to show, you know, and chopping up the precincts, you know, I wouldn't want to be the registrar right now over in Baldwin or in Mobile County. But still, I think the biggest thing you got to look at is that what I've seen is you got Democrats that are jumping in this race that don't even live in congressional district 2.
What is that? That tells me that they don't. There's not a lot of confidence in the bench here, and most what I think is going on. Stephen Reed has got to be the guy in the second congressional district for Democrats, but the National Democratic Party is out looking for people to run because they don't want to deal with Joe Reed and that whole machine.
Well, they had a hearing not too long ago, the DNC did, about the fact that Alabama Democratic Party is not following their platform. So that shows you've got a rift between the state and the DNC. So I guarantee you there's the DNC right now is looking at qualified candidates that are not Stephen Reed because they don't want to deal with Joe Reed.
Yeah, that's what I think is going on. That's why you hear Anthony Daniels gets finally found his Bullitt County roots. But there's candidates in Mobile that are a reasonable contender. Napoleon Bracey, Sam Jones, Vivian Figures. It's not like the bench is that depleted where they couldn't find somebody in the second congressional district. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, and I think they want they're going to want somebody who's going to, you know, be from Montgomery or, you know, kind of have that Montgomery flavor to them. They may want that,
but they took so much of Mobile. I'm just surprised at how much of Mobile they took.
Oh yeah, it's something.
Yeah, all the way to I-10, all the way to the split. So like. If you listen to my voice in the city of Mobile and the city limits, you're probably in the second. But anyway, we got to leave it there. Patrick, thanks for coming by.
Always a pleasure.
Hey, we got to, I got to slide. I got to glide. I got to get on out of here. I will try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis. I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Ford Show on FM Talk 106.5.